going to pray now and ask the Lord to guide us. So, Father, thank you for how, as we come tonight, it's been just nice to sing lovely songs that have been penned and to have communion with your Son, Jesus. Thank you for Sue playing and for each other here. And we do ask now that you'd help us as we look at your word, that you would bless our time together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, winter has come. I can hear the rain. And that means autumn's on its way out. And if you noticed, coming down Ivanhoe Street, pretty much there's lots of leaves. And because autumn, that's the time when all the deciduous trees drop their leaves. And the trees become quite bare. They look pretty dead, don't they? And at home, we've got a few deciduous trees. The fig tree, that's dropping its leaves at the moment. And also the other tree is the mulberry tree. I don't know why, but that mulberry tree likes to hold on to its leaves for as long as possible. So it's sort of not quite there yet. But one thing I know, very soon they'll lose all its leaves, their leaves, and there's no fruit. They are fruitless. And they don't look too good, really. Fig tree, branches, looks pretty dead to me. And the other tree, the mulberry tree, will be the same. The other thing I notice is next to our fig tree are two big, I'm not trying to make you envious here, two big mango trees. All right? So they do keep their leaves. But this is not the season for mangoes. Oh, man, that was a few months ago. And those trees, they were loaded. Loaded with beautiful, succulent mangoes. A heap. I think it probably broke all records for us. And we had too many mangoes. And we're picking them off the tree, just about to fall off, right? Making your mouth water, pulling it off. Here you go, take it off. It's just like just perfect. Not from the shop, not frozen. This is just perfect and just orange and so mouth-watering, so nice. So how nice is that, eh? Yeah.
Please get on with the sermon.
All right, okay. Well, this is the point of the sermon. God wants you to be looking not like my fig tree at the moment that looks dead and barren and fruitless. He wants you to be fruitful, full of fruit. He wants you to be looking like a tree on a nice warm sunny day in summer, full of good, delicious fruit. Amen. That is what God wants you to be like. All right, so there's a picture. I love pictures. I am getting on with it now, okay, Ken? All right. And tonight, you know, after, this is like to me in my mind, the fourth sermon around about the whole idea of the Holy Spirit coming and changing our lives. This sermon is entitled The Fruit of the Spirit. And I'm glad I can sort of close on this one. This is a lovely passage of scripture where we are told that we're meant to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and it's found in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. And there's nine parts of the fruit. So they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What do you think of that? Pretty good list, isn't it? That's the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit is what we are to bear as the Holy Spirit lives in us and fills us, as we talked about this morning, as he operates in our life, as he controls us and changes us. This is the fruit that every Christian will bear. It's not going to vary, not this fruit. It's not going to vary with every Christian. This is the fruit that the Holy Spirit will bear in our life. So what I want to do tonight is I want to have a look at Galatians 5. And I wonder if you're aware of this. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is contrasted in this passage with something else. And you could nickname it, even though it's not in the Bible, you could nickname it that what Paul does, he compares the fruit of the sinful nature with the fruit of the Spirit's nature. So that we can really see the contrast between our natural self without Christ, how the world operates, and how beautiful it is when Christ lives in us and the fruit of the Spirit is evident. And this is really important. This is the thing, if we got hold of, which makes you beautiful people. Beautiful to God and a blessing to others around you. The fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to start off, we're going to work our way from Galatians 5, 16 down to 26. So the Apostle Paul begins with these words, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh," in your versions you might have sinful nature there. Flesh is the actual Greek word used, but it's standing for our sinful nature, flesh. "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." So before we get to this fruit of the Spirit, we're told in verse 17 especially that there's a war on. Do you know about this war? If you're a genuine Christian, you will know about this war. And this battle is a battle between the sinful nature, or what Paul calls the flesh, our old nature, and the Spirit. So why is there a battle? Well, the sinful nature, if you think about the sinful nature, what is it out to do? It's out to control you and to rule you and to make you self-centered and to oppose the rule of the King. That's what your sinful nature, surely you know this. I know it. It is crazy. It is opposed to God, our Creator. It's opposed to Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And the Spirit, he's trying to do the very opposite. He's trying to get us under the rule of God, under the rule of Christ, because that's a good place to be. And so there's a battle going on. Now, when I thought about this, as I was thinking through all these things, I was thinking of how, you know, non-Christians, do they have this battle? Well, they do have a battle. Normally, they have a battle for a while. They're into things and are wanting to do things, and some of those things are bad, and they have something called a conscience that will sort of beat them up a bit. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. But as you probably know, it doesn't take long before the conscience just gives up. I'm giving up. That's it. Just do what you want. And also we justify ourselves and we get support by peers around us, and we just end up living this full on sinful life, letting our sinful nature rule us and control us. So there's no real battle. After a while, there's no battle. But for the Christian, it's a full-on battle. Because we do have the old nature. This is so important to appreciate. We still have the old nature within us. But we also have the Spirit. The Spirit's nature within us too. And so we have a real battle. And if you're honest with yourself, then you know that that battle can become really intense some days, and other days it's fine. And as the Apostle Paul says in verse 17, at the very end, so that you may not do the things that you please. I mean, it's just like insane. I want to do the right thing, but I have my old nature that is seeking for me to do the wrong thing. Oh, there's a passage on all this. Romans chapter 7. You hear that? Oh man, that's fantastic, that chapter. To help you understand the battle that goes on. Okay, so that's important to understand. And why do we have this battle? Why is there this sinful nature? You know what? You can blame your parents. And then they can blame their parents. And then they can blame their parents. And that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. So when Adam and Eve sinned, something changed in their nature. And they became, they had a nature that was bent on sin, a sinful nature. Okay. In fact, the Bible says this, I don't know if you know this verse, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. Peter says, "You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers." So there's a verse you can use to blame your parents. Not really. You better be careful, because I tell you what, your kids are going to blame you. I just saw that. Jody just punched her mum. I seriously that? Oh, no. I thought that might happen. Oh, no. All right. Now, I'm going to look at verses 16, 18 and 24 later, but I'm going to now jump to verse 19, and now we're going to see the nature of the sinful nature. So verses 19 to 21. Now the deeds of the flesh, you could say the fruit of the sinful nature, are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. I'll just stop there. Well, that is a full-on list. My first response when I look at that list is, that's right, they're those people who are in jail. And they deserve to be criminals. I mean, not deserve to be criminals. They deserve to be in jail because of that horrible behaviour. But then, hang on, that's not what it's saying. Those characteristics are in our society where people aren't in jail. And then, hang on, those are the characteristics in me, in my old sinful nature. And I look at them and it's full on. It's like, whoa, how bad are we? How fallen are we? Like, I'm not going to go through every word, but if you think of that list, maybe I'll just read it through once more. It's like really, really full on stuff. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, that's to do with witchcraft, enmities, strife, jealousy, like man, we just can't get on with anybody. It's like we're fighting. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. Sort of pretty picture. You know, sometimes I just got to pause and go, why, Lord, would you even love us? We are so messed up. We are so broken. That's horrible. We were made to be in the image of God. How can we be so immoral? How can we be so depraved? He still loves us. And he sent his son. So it's what I find about this passage, I could easily have jumped to verses 22 and 23, but it helps me appreciate the fruit of the Spirit all the more. So this is the fruit of the sinful nature. And I want to point out at the end of verse 21, it says, let me read 21. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these. So that means that's not an exhaustive list. There's more that could be put. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so this behaviour, this constant practicing of this, puts us in a collision course with the great God. And in a collision course with him judging us and condemning us, and we will not inherit the kingdom of God, we will not go to heaven, we will face eternity in hell. This is what God knows that. This is this behaviour is worse than a person being thrown into a prison in Perth. This behaviour deserves you to go to hell. And what way? I know it doesn't say it here. What way out of this do we have? There is a way. And this is why the Bible, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus and the apostles, they say a very important word, which is really getting missed completely these days, even in Christian circles, and it's the word repent. There is something to repent of. We can't just keep living like this and say yes to Jesus, all good. No, we have to repent. And repentance is not a work, it's a change of heart. It's to realise and recognise this is wrong and I'm now turning to Jesus. And I turn to him to rescue me. I turn to him to forgive me. I turn to him for his strength to help me. And he's able to by his awesome and gracious power. I'm just going to read a few verses in the book of Acts where the gospel is being preached so often in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the apostle Paul says to the Athenians, having overlooked times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all people everywhere that they should repent. I can't believe there are people these days, pastors, who say the word repentance is not to be preached. That was before the cross. It was only the John the Baptist and Jesus' earthly ministry. After the cross, we are not to preach repentance. Well, Paul is. And that's after the cross. Yeah, they got it so wrong. Acts chapter 20, here's another time. I love this one. Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. Acts chapter 20, 20 and 21. I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of, now this is so cool, of what? Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I always learned a lot of this. This is through navigators back in the day. There's two hinges on the door to salvation. The two hinges are repentance and faith in Christ. Pretty much what the Bible says. The door opens. So that's what we have to do. And when we do repent and we receive Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, then we have the joy of the Holy Spirit coming into our heart. That is just the best. And it's not like, it's not just that we're forgiven. Jesus sends His Spirit to dwell in us and then begins this most amazing transformation in our life, and we have the bearing of the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is so beautiful compared to what this nature wants to produce. Alright, so let's have a look at that now. So the fruit of the Spirit, it says in verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So this is the work of the Spirit. And I want to just highlight a few things about how the Spirit is the one who produces this fruit. And this fruit, it's really one fruit, and these are parts of the fruit. And this fruit is born by Him living in us, and we allowing Him to transform and change us. Did you hear that word allowing? Because for some reason we intervene and we allow ourselves to assert our will and our drive and our selfishness into it, and we mess things up. But the Holy Spirit is the one who's able to change and transform us. And is He able to do that? Is He able to change me, a person given over to, say, anger, to unforgiveness, to bitterness, to sensuality? He's able to change us. Is He able to change the worst person addicted to the worst things? And the answer is yes. Just let the Holy Spirit do His work. So what Holy Spirit are we talking about? Romans 8 verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, don't you love this verse? Who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. So that's what you need to understand. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. He raised Christ from the dead. That's why God can change and transform you and bring about the beautiful fruit of the Spirit, no matter what you've come from. And I said this before, I think I would have shared this last week, but I also love the picture of the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, where we have everything is void and empty and dark, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the surface of the waters, and the hovering is a picture of Him. He is poised. He's poised at the command of Christ, actually, to bring forth a glorious creation. And there's a beautiful picture there for the Christian. The same Holy Spirit is poised at the command of Christ to bring forth a new creation. A new creation. That's who we are. There's a great verse on that. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old's gone, the new's come. Now, I would love that new to come instantly. And the reality is, it's coming, and it's coming, and it's coming in the sense of you're a work in progress. But the work is very clear. God wants you to become like, who's the fruit of the Spirit remind you of? Jesus. God wants you, the Holy Spirit wants you to become like Christ. Okay, so when I think of that list of qualities, I'm just going to go through them now. So the fruit of the Spirit, love. What kind of love are we talking about? That's it, the agape love. It's the love that is never ending. This is what God can produce in you, a love that is unconditional, A love that is sacrificial. It's the love of Christ. The very one who said those words, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. This is a love that the Holy Spirit can produce in you. So we're not talking about an ordinary love. We're talking about a supernatural love. The Holy Spirit is able to give you that and help you. So Colleen's not here, but I'll share with you. I just say that because I remember after several years of marriage, and you can have some challenges in your marriage, and I'm realizing, Lord, I'm struggling at the moment to love Colleen. And so I remember, here's a wisdom thing God gave me. Well, ask me to help you. All right. Lord, can you please love Colleen through me? And that little prayer, unbelievable, just changed my life and my attitude to Colleen, and God gave me this ability to love and to learn what love actually is. Instead of being, I love you when you're doing good, I love you no matter what. I hadn't realized that my love was very natural. It was very brittle. It was very conditional. Had no idea. And then the Holy Spirit producing the fruit in me helps me to love properly. Yeah. Joy. We spoke about that this morning. The Holy Spirit wants to give you joy. What kind of joy? When your footy team wins? No. When something good happens? No, this is a joy that is over and above everything in life. The Holy Spirit gives you joy. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, it's described as joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's some joy. And then there's the peace. And we know there's a passage in Philippians 4:7 that speaks of a peace that surpasses comprehension. A peace that is not dependent on peaceful circumstances. This is the Holy Spirit. Isn't this amazing? He's able to produce this incredible fruit in us as he works in our life. And then there's patience. There's a little phrase in the Bible about the patience of Job. The Holy Spirit's able to give you a patience beyond the patience of Job. A patience that is just incredible. He gives you kindness. A kindness that makes you tender towards even a person who is a bother to you. He gives you goodness so that you can respond to evil with good. He gives you faithfulness where you, instead of being a quitter, you're able to hang in there day after day, loving Jesus because of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He gives you gentleness. Man, that's such a rare quality these days. Gentleness. That you might be a gentle person, a gentle soul to the people around you. And he gives you self-control. The same self-control that I see in Jesus. I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. This is self-control. It says there, Jesus committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That is self-control. What do you reckon? He is the Son of God. He had every right to retaliate, but he chooses not to. So this is the beautiful fruit of the Holy Spirit. So is this fruit evident in you? It needs to be. If we are a genuine born-again Christian, it's also true to remember that we are a work in progress. So we're not to expect ourselves to be perfect. Not yet. Not till we get to heaven, actually. But still we should be seeing progress in our life, that change in our life, because the Spirit who lives in us is the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. Okay, now I'm going to look at three verses now before we finish. Because I need help to understand what it means to for the fruit of the Spirit to be born in me. And there's three great verses that help me. So the first one is in Galatians 5:16, right at the beginning of our passage. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. All right? Now this is really important. This is real practical stuff. Walk by the Spirit. Or some translation, walk in step with the Spirit. Some versions have live by the Spirit or live in the Spirit. That doesn't really capture the Greek. So walk by or be in step with the Spirit. So what that means, if I think of tomorrow, it means that as I live tomorrow, as I have all these various choices in life, and I'm going along, and maybe I have good desires and bad desires, I am to walk with the Holy Spirit alongside me, and I am to be listening to Him as I live my life. And that helps me to say no to the flesh and yes to Jesus, and that is how the fruit of the Spirit is born. And I'm not getting caught up with my old nature and allowing its fruit to be born. So it's a step by step. So we need to understand and appreciate and experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, I don't reckon we're too good at that. And that's why so often we are in autopilot mode, which often makes you going to crash. Autopilot, you're going to crash. Because it's actually the sinful nature that's going to show itself. And you're going to crash. You're going to crash, I know. I know, because I do. Alright, so we need to learn to walk in step with the Spirit. So pretty much, the best way to start off is in the morning, you start off correct. Good morning, Lord. I surrender my life to you. Help me to be surrendered the whole day. Walk with me and help me. Help me to make right choices for you. Wow. I don't know how many of us do that, but that's what we need to do. Otherwise, you are destined to crash. I can guarantee it. Yeah. All right. I'm so glad God's gracious. He picks up our wreckages. He's trying to help us understand what's going on. Okay, the next one is Galatians 5 verse 18. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. And that intrigues me where it says you're not under the law. So what I take from that is, if I want the Holy Spirit to be living in me and producing the fruit of the Spirit, I need to remember that I am not under the law. What am I under? You're under grace. The law is condemning. The law is saying you're no good. But you're under grace, and grace is saying you're saved. You're forgiven. You've been set free. And the Holy Spirit will impress that upon us because He wants us to be free to live for the Lord. And to, therefore, that's another wonderful state, a great state, to help us bear the fruit. If we're under law, we're not going to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit because we're going to be thinking of how I'm such a bad person and, you know, and all that. But when we are living under grace, it makes us really open up to God and to love Jesus and to allow His Spirit to change us. What do you reckon of that? All right, the last one is Galatians 5:24. Which says, I'll read 24 to 26 actually. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So especially verse 24, we must crucify. That's strong language. What do we have to crucify? My old nature. Wow, that's pretty serious. You know, it's like the winter time, there's weeds in the garden. You rip out those weeds. And those weeds are going to what? Going to die. Yeah. That's it. It's end of story for you weeds. That's how we're meant to be with our sinful nature. Ruthless. And I feel again, many Christians are compromised. We're tolerating, we're permitting things in our life that shouldn't be there. And again, the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans 8 verse 13 in regards to helping us with this. In Romans 8 13 we read, if you are living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So the Holy Spirit is able to help us put to death the deeds of our body, to put to death the fruit of our sinful nature, and that then opens the door for the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be born. So there's some really practical teaching here. I find Galatians 5, I just want to share personally, Galatians 5 has helped me so much in my own sins that have been difficult to break free of. And we're all different. We all have different sins that are challenges to us. This is a really, really good passage to get really good understanding and to apply it to your life so that you might be set free and really be on that road where the fruit of the Spirit is becoming more and more evident in your life. This is a Christian life. It's not about just being saved, going to heaven one day. It's about being transformed and changed. And to just mention again, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I just want to say now, finish with this. Oh, this is just Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is being Jesus. Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And why was he oozing out all this beautiful fruit? Because he's the Son of God. But I also love in John's Gospel where it says that he was filled with the Spirit without measure. Do you know that? What an amazing verse. And the same Spirit is able to fill us too and bring about this beautiful fruit. So connecting it to this morning's sermon, I would love Bazo to be the people, a people who are filled with the Spirit. And you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And you even taste better than a mango. What do you reckon? Like, that's how we're meant to be. So full of flavour and so beautiful to people about us, even to our community. That's how we are to be. So, Father, I know in the last 2 weeks, it's been really lovely to have a time in church to be able to remember the great gift of the Holy Spirit. And for me, personally, I feel like it's a gift that we can not appreciate, and we can fail to understand how significant it is to be given your Spirit. And also, I can't help but think of how your Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside us and into our human body that has a sinful nature. And wow, that the Holy Spirit could even do this is beyond me. That the holiness of his character is going to be provoked by me, but he still comes in. And I thank you for his perseverance and for his desire to change us and to make us like Jesus. I thank you that becoming like Jesus is not all about human effort, doing all we can. We are powerless, but it's your Spirit who's able to bring this about. Lord, I ask that you'd bless us at Bazo, that in these days ahead, there might be a great working of your Spirit in our life, where we would be putting to death out the old nature and allowing your fruit to be born. I ask that you would really make us alive and active for you and your kingdom. Lord, I pray for the days that we live in, that your church here and elsewhere in the world, you would make your church radiant and beautiful and help us as a result be in such a better place to declare the gospel to people around us. Pray, Lord, in those words of our ancestors, that you would revive your people. Lord, you'd come upon us in mighty power and change us. And I thank you, Lord, for all these things that we see in your word. And I thank you for your commitment to us and your desire to make us your people and to use us for your glory. I would have given up long time ago, Lord, but you haven't. And I thank you for your patience toward us. So thank you for tonight. Thank you for the things that we could look at. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.